Welcome to A Spoonful of Podcast, where we dive into the magic of Disney destinations, searching for a great big beautiful tomorrow. Broadcasting from the backside of water.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 188 of A Spoonful of Podcast. I'm your host, Evan Dickens, here with Brian Galloway, my co-host in crime. How's it going, sir?
Hello, Spoonies. Hello, Evan. How are you? I just haven't done that in a while, so I figured I wanted to do that. No, I haven't, and I've been meaning to do that. I keep forgetting to. So, hey, Spoonies, how are you? Hey, Evan. I'm doing good. I am anxious about this tonight's episode. It's an interesting topic, and I think we're getting back into the planning. It's that time of year. It's spring. The seasons are starting. The vacation times are starting. So we're going to put out some content that's going to hopefully help some people.
Yeah. So, you know, we're kind of, this isn't really a series. It's just kind of some episodes we're doing here and there, like we did our last one about Genie Plus. If you didn't listen to that, go and listen to our last episode, which is 187, which is our Genie Plus guide for this year, 2024. We did a 101 series a while back about all the parks and, you know, different kind of things, but it's good to go back because things change. You know, the way people tour the parks changes. The rides may open. Things may happen a little bit differently, like, you know, the opening of Tron since the last time we did this about Magic Kingdom specifically, which is the park we're going to talk about today, as you can see in the episode title. But, you know, we have some tips and tricks to bring to the table about Magic Kingdom.
And I think that's good because, you know what, it's changed a little bit. It's, you know, and you know what's funny is we consistently rank Magic Kingdom as one of the lowest of the four parks, not because it's bad, just because they're all great, but there has to be, you know, one better than the other. But Magic Kingdom always leave a lot to be desired, but it's going to be an interesting episode.
So let's start there, Brian. I mean, you know me, I always love going into vision, theory, philosophy. Why do you think Magic Kingdom is the most popular? And this is kind of an obvious answer, but I'm just curious.
Well, because people think it's Disneyland, or they call it
they call it Disney. Disneyland. Yeah, I'm going to Disney.
I'm going to Disney. They're going to Magic Kingdom. It's Disney, and I think that's pretty interesting. But also, it's always the first park you pick, and no matter who, especially people that come for the very first time, they don't really know what to expect from these other parks, but they all know about the castle. They want to see the castle. They want to see Space Mountain. That's very important to people. So they come there first all the time, pretty much every trip. You know, you could almost, I would say 75% of the people, probably higher than that, go to Magic Kingdom the very first day that they arrive at any trip.
Yeah, that was actually the first tip on my list, Brian, is don't visit Magic Kingdom on Mondays. You know, it's a highly popular time to visit. You're exactly right. People who book their vacations, they want to go to Disney, quote unquote, and they think Disney is the castle and it's Magic Kingdom and that's all Disney is. And that's well and great because obviously the castle is like the number one icon out of the Disney parks. And each park has its own version of a castle, but Cinderella's castle is in its own self iconic. It's large, it's beautiful, and it's a staple. So I get why it's such an appealing aspect. But yes, when you vacation, a lot of people will start their vacation on Monday and they'll start at Magic Kingdom. You know, maybe they fly in Sunday and they're going to leave Saturday or Friday or whatever. But a lot of times also people bookend, you know, so they'll put Magic Kingdom at the end. So if I could give a tip, I would say visit Magic Kingdom Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday being the best days to visit. Brian, do you agree?
Oh, I 100% agree. I think I have found that, you know, later in the week, again, people are at the other parks. They, you know, you can get there and enjoy yourself a little bit. You know, that Monday is always a tough, tough day to go there. And if you're a seasoned person who comes, you know this by now. But a lot of the people that are not seasoned, they always go, I want to go to Magic. I want to see the castle. I have to go. I have to go for the first day of my trip. Now, if you're there multiple days and you're going to go 5 days to parks, usually the Magic Kingdom is first and fifth or whatever, even though I will tell you that Epcot is definitely a 2-day park.
And if you don't
plan it that way, then you're missing out. But a lot of people, I have to say, Magic Kingdom is a 2-day park if you really want to see it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hard. Absolutely.
I think we always recommend it's you need 6 days to go to all the different parks. But let's talk about this. I could tell you right now, and I'll just premise this before you start, is to me the most iconic part of any visit to Walt Disney World, and it's very similar to Disneyland and probably some of the other ones, is going through the brick arch onto Main Street and coming out and seeing that. To me, that is the epitome of a trip to Walt Disney World, because you're that experience of just crossing through, looking out, seeing Main Street, USA, and you're like, wow, I'm here. And at the end of that street, there is a castle. No other park does that. That visual experience is just amazing, and it does stimulate you in a lot of ways. It really does. And I don't think people give that as much value as it is, but I have to tell you, always soak that in. Soak that in when you get there. See that. Look around, because that is the coolest thing about any Disney park.
Yeah. So I'm actually backing up a little bit into like the distance aspect. So, you know, the arrival to Magic Kingdom was thoughtfully and strategically planned by Walt's vision, completed out finally by Roy of all property, et cetera, et cetera. But Walt wanted the arrival. So the incredibly annoying thing about us that drive is that we have to park at the transportation ticket center, right? And then we have to choose a monorail or a ferry to get to the park. And if you're staying at a resort on property, you don't have to do that. You jump right to the front and you get let out, which is extremely convenient, but that's actually not the way that Walt wanted you to arrive at Magic Kingdom. They wanted the arrival, the ferry boat arrival. And we do the boat a lot. And it's so funny to see, as soon as you start seeing the castle, people are, you know, pulling their phones out and they're zooming in and taking pictures of the castle. So it's definitely just like your Main Street example, which I'll get to in a second. It is an arrival. It's a production. It's strategic, again, planning you on how you arrive and how you start to awaken yourself and see it.
Yeah, right? He didn't plan for the people walking from Bay Lake Towers of the Contemporary, because that's like not really, you're like, you're walking, you see a brick path, it's nothing. And you're like, what? You cross a street. No, that's not the way that he planned it. He didn't even plan as much for the people walking over from the Polynesian, because even though that's a pretty walkway, you're not soaking that in like you do. You don't see the visuals that you do on that boat, especially if you go on the top deck, it's even better.
But oh, yeah.
The only problem is you go on the top deck, then it takes longer to get down when you arrive. But
well, they have an exit at the top deck now.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. So, but that is just great. That's just a great thing.
Yeah. But once you get through the turnstiles and you're going, I mean, there's nothing quite like seeing the train station. And, you know, if you time it right on that monorail, I mean, the ferry's cool, but on the monorail coming in or going, and you're seeing the train coming in and the castles in the background, that's a magical view right there. But yeah, once you get there and you're seeing the train, you walk under that train station, you know, everything is blocked. Your view's blocked. Even you can't even see the castle yet until you start walking up Main
Street. And it's very dark too. It's dark underneath there for a reason. Cause like, okay, you're dark. And all of a sudden you see a light and then you come out and you're like, whoa.
Yep.
It's all done for a reason. Yeah.
It's all planned and it's strategically planned that way. So yeah, that's a cool entrance. So what next, you know, what do you do when you get in there? Brian, what are some tips about what?
Yes. So what you don't want to do is, I know that it's very interesting. A lot of people come in, they're like, wow, look at Main Street. There's a lot to do here. There's stores to go shopping in. No, no, no. You don't want to go shopping when you first come in. And now, of course, Disney always wants you to spend money, but avoid the shopping when you first get there. Do it at the end of the day. I mean, because you don't want to carry around bags. You know, we could talk about, there are places that you can actually put your bags. There's storage lockers and things like that, but you don't want to do that. You want, you know, buy your stuff at the end and it's not going anywhere. There's plenty of every item. Now, I would say maybe you want something to eat or drink real quick, but I would say you should focus on what you want to do for the day. And if hopefully you've planned enough to figure out, you know, what are your, you know, we talked about Genie Plus and what you're picked to do, but
I was going to bring that up, that Genie Plus is great at Magic Kingdom.
In Magic Kingdom, it's definitely worth it. But okay, let's say here's even if you haven't picked that you have to make a decision. There is a hub and spoke design to Magic Kingdom. And some people go to the right, some people go to the left, some people go straight. And you can kind of, you can go straight and in between. So you can actually go straight, or you can go straight a little bit to the left, or you can go very much to the left. So you can go, there's like really four directions you could go in any way or fashion. So you have to make a decision there. And that's always interesting because I used to always go left, but I have found myself going right or towards Liberty Square more because it seems to be like less of the crowd goes that way. But you have to, you should know beforehand which way you want to go and what area of the park you want to go to, because it's a big park. It's a lot bigger than you think.
Yeah, and this goes back to, Brian, us talking about, you know, qualifying your vacation, asking the questions of those traveling with you. What are your must-dos, right? I mean, we always go back to that same thing. What are your must-dos? But if you're heavy ride focused, you know, the top two, and Brian, I think you agree with this, the top two longest waits of rides are going to be Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Peter Pan's Flight.
Yes.
Those are the two that are the longest wait. So if you're heavy on the rides and you're big on rope dropping, definitely do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and do Peter Pan. And then the rest of them throughout the day at different times open up to different ways. So that's, but if you're kind of, if you're, you know, maybe you do have 2 days planned and you do or don't do Genie Plus or you do or don't do rope drop, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about, is how do you approach it? And you're right. I've made that note myself, Brian, that the hub and spoke design where you have your hub in the center and then you have these different offshoots to go, it makes it much easier to get around. Unlike an Epcot, where if you are trying to get to the America Pavilion to Spaceship Earth, you got a trek to go. You know?
Yeah, there's a and again, he did a really good job with this in Disneyland. It works very well, and it works great here. It separates the crowd into three, possibly four directions. I think most people go in the main three directions. A lot of people are focused like lemmings towards the castle. I got to go see the castle. But you go through the castle. Okay, great. And you can't go in the castle unless you're going to Cinderella's Royal Table. You go in the castle, through the castle, and then you're in some of the high ticket rides that you're going to see there. But they're probably the more nostalgic rides. So you have to understand what you're going to do. If you're going to go to the right, you're going to go towards Tomorrowland. You're going to be able to, you know, go on either Space Mountain or Tron or one of those rides. If you go to the left, you're going to go towards Pirates of the Caribbean. You're going to go towards the Jungle Cruise. Tiana's will be there, so that's going to be very popular. And Big Thunder Mountain Railroad over there. If you go the other path in between, which is my recommendation right now, is to go that direction because it seems to be the less crowded. It's towards Liberty Square, Haunted Mansion. And so, again, you're not going to be able to get, but you might get over to Big Thunder or Tiana's quicker going that way too. But you can also back your way around into Fantasyland if you want to, too. There's a couple different ways. So that's a very strategic way to go sometimes. It just gets a crowd. You have to look at the crowd. I would always look at the crowd when you get there. You might have to make a quick decision because you might go on a day where everybody's going to the right for some reason because everybody wants to go to Tron. And that, you know, it could be – it changes from time. Now, I have a feeling Tiana's is going to send people – to the left towards Liberty Square, both ways. So when people come in, their touring is going to be, hey, we got to go do that first. So that might happen. And you might have to say, you know what, can I do that later? Or do I want to go do it at Rope Drop? So your touring always changes. And you can't, and we can't always say the best way to do it is always to go right, because it's not the truth. Because depending on what ride's there, but depending on what ride is open, depending on what kind of virtual queues or whatever that are in place, people will change their touring and how they do it.
Yeah, and again, I think you have to answer this question knowing who's in your party. You know, if you have, you know, little girls with you and they really love meeting the princesses, and, you know, there's always Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique that you could go to, which always, you know, do that early in the day so you can get pictures all throughout the day with photo pass of that, right? And they would want to tackle Fantasyland first. If you say you have 8, 9, or 10-year-old boys with you, you maybe want to make sure you do Tomorrowland and Frontierland and Adventureland. You know, that may be your top three to do with some, you know, older kid boys. So it just depends on who's in your party, right? But definitely hitting the big rides first is always smart, as if you're heavy ride focused. So I want to mention this one tip too. You know, Disney gets very hot, right? Although I don't think Magic Kingdom is the hottest park. Animal Kingdom is probably up there with all the vegetation stuff. Getting out of the sun is really important, especially if you have kids. So, you know, girls or boys, you know, we were talking about, or the little ones like babies. The baby care center is a huge tip. All four parks have baby care centers. I just cannot stress this enough, how helpful it is when you need to get away and don't want to change your child's diaper on like a hard surface in the tangled bathrooms, which are Brian's favorite bathrooms. You can go have a private area, and there's air conditioning and there's water, and they even sell baby accessories. If you forget something, you can go in. That's also the first aid station. So that's a huge tip to do to kind of rest or recharge if you need it.
Yeah, so it's true. It is very important, and that it's a godsend to some parents, especially during those hot days, during those hectic days, crowded days. I also want to talk about this too, and Magic Kingdom, and understand this, because of the way it's set up and the fact that there's a lot of walking and a lot of pathways all over the place, crowds tend to bunch up really quickly there. For some reason, it gets very crowded in certain areas all the time. So you could put the same number of people in every park. Magic Kingdom gets the most crowds, and it's just because of the way it's set up, and the walkways are not big enough sometimes. And again, people tend to go in the same direction all the time. So expect on the crowded days to have crowds and to be a little bit, hopefully you don't have a problem with, you know, large crowds and people bumping into you, because you're going to have that in most places in Magic Kingdom. There aren't a lot of places that you're going to walk around and not have people bumping into you.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, immediately what comes to mind is Adventureland is always very tight.
Yes.
And Tomorrowland, like where you're going from, you know, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, starting towards Tomorrowland Speedway, that area can get very congested. Typically, you know, the circus, Storybrooke Circus back there is typically pretty open. So that's a good spot to kind of rest. Or, you know, Frontierland can sometimes get kind of open because that's a pretty big walkway if there's not a parade happening. And of course, Brian, your favorite, Tom Sawyer Island, is a great rest and relaxation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But a lot of, you know, the thoroughfares do bottleneck pretty quickly because people are going in different directions.
Yeah, especially over near Small World and Peter Pan.
Oh gosh, I forgot about that
going
one.
Going towards Columbia Harbor House. Oh my goodness, that is really bad. It's terrible there. It's terrible.
You have a cast member out there directing traffic sometimes.
Yeah. So, but you have that, and again, it will move. And you know, don't always get stressed because you can find places, but no other park that I could see gets that crowded in certain areas than Magic Kingdom. And now, why is that? It's just because there's not enough room, and there's so many rides and there's so many things to do. There just wasn't enough room at the time. I think if, you know, if they designed it over again, they probably would have put more room there, but they designed it not that much different than Disneyland at first with a little bit more room. But it does move. It does move. The crowds move, and you'll be able to do things once you know your way around.
So another tip, Brian, let's talk about food.
Okay.
Where do I eat in Magic Kingdom? You know, that's a question that a lot of people ask. And again, I revert back to our, what we've been saying is that it depends a lot about what's in your party, right? Maybe you want to book Cinderella's Royal Table. You know, we know that the food's not the best there, but you get to see a lot of princesses, and that could help save you on wait times to see princesses in the attraction queues versus booking it at Cinderella's Royal Table. But, you know, you have table service restaurants, of course, and then the quick service restaurants. And I think table service, from what I've read recently, if you are a fan of, you know, good food at Magic Kingdom and you're trying to look at that, and that Magic Kingdom may be one of the bottom locations to get really good food, but I've heard that Skipper's Canteen may be your best choice for if you like quality, more upscale dining experience and you want that at Magic Kingdom. Probably not the best for little kids, but, you know, again, it depends on your party. What are your thoughts, Brian, on some of the food options of like sit down restaurants?
Okay, so here's my big thing about Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom, of all the parks, probably has the least amount of quality table service. Now, Skipper's Canteen is probably the one upscale. You know, there's not bad ones. I mean, I think Tony's Town Square gets a bad rap. It's not bad. It's gotten better. Crystal Palace is okay. I really don't think you're paying for the food there. I think the food quality is, I mean, below mediocre, to my opinion, but the characters are awesome. So it's a beautiful, beautiful venue.
Yeah.
Be Our Guest. I think it's very overpriced for what you get, cause it's not even a character dinner.
Yep.
And it's constantly getting some, you know, below average reviews. The Liberty Tavern, a lot of people really like it, but it's got a very limited menu, so you got to make sure you know that. That's the problem. There's not that many really, really high quality restaurants for sit down. Okay, but that's fine. The one thing they do have is they have a lot of good fast service restaurants.
Yes.
And there are some really good ones here. You know, whether it be Pecos Bill's or whether it be Casey's Hot Dogs, or like there are some good places to eat if you want to get like the quick service. But the other cool thing, and we have talked about that, the proximity of Magic Kingdom is that it's so close with a monorail to a couple monorail resorts. You could take a break from the crowds and the day, again, as long as you have the time to do this, and go to a number of much, much better restaurants that are within a quick monorail ride. I mean, I'm talking, you know, 5-7 minute monorail ride. Again, you have to walk to the monorail and leave the park and walk to the monorail. But it is, you know, you actually will value that meal a lot better than you're going to go into the parks. Now, a lot of people don't want to do that and they want to just do quick service. So I think Magic Kingdom to me is more of a quick service park in that case there. So you should really check out the quick service menus and see what you like there.
Yeah, a huge tip is Columbia Harbor House. We love that restaurant. That and Pecos Bill's are probably our favorites. Columbia Harbor House, last time, Emily got a salmon with green beans and white rice, and I got a grilled shrimp skewer with green beans and white rice. And that's just not regular theme park food that people would think. So it was very good. But yes, especially if you have older kids or your adult party that's traveling, going to the monorail resorts it's a great idea. So if I was to plan that, maybe I would hop on the monorail, get off at Contemporary to go to the gift shops, because the Contemporary has three really good gift
awesome,
shops.
Awesome gift shops. Yeah.
Yeah, the main one, then there's one in the middle that's mainly toys, and then there's one off to the side that's where the DVC stuff is, but they have other items in there too. They have a huge arcade as well. So, you know, you can go there, then hop back on the monorail, and maybe you go to Ohana or Kona Cafe or get you some sushi at the Polynesian, or visit one of the Grand Floridian's 4 or 5 or 6 restaurants that they have there. But your dining options are much better on that monorail loop, or say you may take a boat from the front of Magic Kingdom to Wilderness Lodge and eat at Whispering Canyon or Geyser Point and have the Bison Burger there. There's a ton of dining options right there in a very close proximity to Magic Kingdom, especially like Brian said, if you have time, and B, if you have maybe an older crowd than not just little kids that you're with who wouldn't want to take away from.
Well, yeah. And again, it really depends on how many days you're there and what your plan is and what your schedule is. I have found that it's not even a contest. You know, you're going to find 7 better restaurants than any other restaurants in Magic Kingdom outside in proximity. And you really will. And we can rattle them off. You had 7. And if not more, but again, it does require you to leave and come back. So if you're there a couple of days, 100% you should do that because you get to experience those restaurants, which are just as magical. And the cool thing, you know, anything on the monorail loop, all those restaurants have a lot of good theming and good food. Whereas if you go to the restaurants inside of the park, you're spending a lot of money for mediocre. And besides Skipper's actually has really good food, but it's limited menu to what you like. You have to check the menu out. If you could get a Skipper's, you could get a really good meal. But I still think there's better restaurants outside than even Skipper's. And that's important, you know. But again, it really depends on who you are and what your family is. If you guys are, you know, you're barnstorming around, hey, there's some great, great, great fast, quick service options. If not, and you want to have a nice family dinner, relaxing, and you're not getting the Cinderella's Royal Table, which, again, food-wise, it's probably, you know, sadly enough, it probably is one of the better food options. The food's not that bad compared to, you know, some of the other ones. You could, you know, but it's expensive, but you also get the value. Just like Evan said, as a parent of two girls, for us to go to that meal and knock off, you know, pictures and autographs from all those princesses in that one shot.
Yeah.
100% is that worth the money? 100%. Yep. Right? Because it's relaxed. The pictures are great. You have that special time with them. And it was memorable. So even if the food was bad, it would still be worth the money. I wouldn't say that with, like, Crystal Palace to me. The food's pretty, I mean, my last experience there was really bad. I actually went there for breakfast. I think I told you this. I went there for breakfast, and I ended up eating cereal, luckily, because everything was just bad.
Oh, wow.
And it was, it was really, I mean, I just couldn't even, like.
We had a great breakfast there last time, but maybe it was off.
Yeah, it was a bad day. It was just really bad.
Like the churro Mickey waffles were so good.
No, they were, nothing was good there. The day I went there, nothing was good. Like, it was eggs were bad. Everything was bad. So luckily I had cereal, but to me, I was like, wow, I spent all that money for cereal. So that's, to me, I would never recommend that to anybody if they asked me, but the character's awesome there. Awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The building is amazingly beautiful. So it just really depends on what you want. So food wise to me, you have to make that decision. If you're only there for the day, my recommendation would be, check out the quick services. There are some really cool stuff, and get a bunch of snacks and enjoy that kind of part of, you know, that part of the thing. Don't waste your time and your vacation on those restaurants. Whereas if you have days and time, go experience the monorail restaurants because there are some cool ones.
So, yeah, I totally agree and echo everything you just said. My next tip I want to say is Storybook Circus. Actually, it's funny. It's kind of like a best kept secret. People just think Dumbo, and that's all they think back there, which is in its own self pretty cool because there is a playground inside of Dumbo, which is really awesome.
Oh yeah, the queue is it's one of the better queues, and people don't realize it because it's been around for so long, and they made two of them now. There's two Dumbos.
Yep.
And they it would be cool if they actually almost collided to make it a little more fun, but either way, it's still fun. But the queue is amazing. It's worth going if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that, you go into the queue, and once you get to the playground, you just tell the cast member, I'd like to go in, and then you go and play, and you can rejoin the queue at the same spot you were at when you enter the ride. So that's a really cool one. But anyways, a couple of things. One is Minnie and Daisy and Goofy and Donald have a meet and greet in the back corner. And Brian, I'll tell you, the past several times we've been to Magic Kingdom, the longest wait was like 20 minutes. And the Minnie and Daisy line's always longer than the Goofy and Donald line, but they're all dressed up in different costumes, right? So Donald's a snake charmer. Goofy is like a daredevil. Minnie is like in her like a tea party outfit, I think. And then Daisy is, I think, like a palm reader or something like that. But it's really cute pictures. It's a great photo opportunity. And I don't think a lot of people know about it. I mean, I don't understand. You have, you know, four amazing characters and it's just never really crowded. So,
well, you know, it's funny. It's a weird building, and it used to be a lot different than it is now today. It looks like a big gift shop, and the people don't realize it when they get over there. And I think that's maybe that's a reason. It's a reason to, you know, to be able, so it's not that, you know, I would assume if that got crowded in there, it would be tough.
But then Big Top Souvenirs next door to where you meet the characters is my second best kept secret, because I mean, it's a great gift shop. It's got a lot of cool merch, but B, the sweets and the treats that are there. You can get the Werther's caramel popcorn, the butter bar, you know, cupcakes, all that kind of stuff. And that the popcorn and the butter bar, and they have the pecan cluster. Those are the same things you get at the Germany Pavilion in Epcot, and they have it right there at Big Top Souvenirs. So that, along with Aloha Isle, are like my two favorite dessert spots, because it's just a good quality spot. And I don't know, that's just a good tip to me. Just want to throw that out there.
It's a very good tip. It's a very good tip. And I have to say, you know, I would say the one thing about, again, because of the fact that there are so many good quick services there, none of them really have crazy lines.
Yeah.
I don't think maybe, I mean, I don't think anything is really, really bad. I know, like for me, there's my favorite ice cream place is, and I don't know the name at the top of my head, but it's the one as you're walking towards Buzz Lightyear, to the right, right before you, the Stitch ride used to be. There's a little stand there that serves ice cream, and there's never a line, and they give you big, like really big cones of ice cream. It's really good. And there are those things all over the park. There are a lot of like little out of the way stands with good stuff. In Frontierland, I know there's a stand that has bacon on a stick, which is like a must do treat for us now. There are a lot of good places to look for that. And Disney does that very well in Magic Kingdom. I think Magic Kingdom has, again, some of the best quick service, some of the best snacks. Where they lack in the sit down restaurants, they totally exceed or excel with the snacks and the quick service there.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I totally agree. There's a lot of really good sweet treats outside of just, you know, the Dole Whip, Aloha Isle, or Big Top. Like I said, there's, you know, Main Street has a confectionery, and they do the popcorn where they'll layer you different popcorns and put chocolate drizzle, candy pieces, all kind of stuff on it. There is a ton of good snacks and treats. Magic Kingdom may be one of the top treats and like little snacks parks outside of Epcot, which has a lot of really good ones too.
I would actually argue that treats and snacks, Magic Kingdom might beat Epcot, as much as I love Epcot.
Yeah, I agree.
But Epcot has way better sit-down restaurants. I think Magic Kingdom could have the best. But again, you're talking 1 and 1A. It's that close.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What else was on your list for tip, Brian?
So here's my other thing. So, you know, there's always the big ticket attractions. Remember, you're at Magic Kingdom. You know, there's every ride. Well, not really, but every ride has something toward Walt Disney wise, maybe based on the original design. There's a lot of those things, but there's a lot of rides there that you don't have to really worry about, or attractions that you don't have to worry about the crazy lines. Now there's going to be lines, you know, Jungle Cruise is going to have its line. Pirates will have its line. They both move pretty fast. Haunted Mansion tends to always have a crazy line. It does move pretty fast. But there are other things. Like we talked about Tom Sawyer Island. You know, if you have some time during the day, go over there, beach, you know, get away from the crowds. The riverboat. People don't tend to go on the riverboat very much. But you know what? You have some good views of the park by doing that. And it gets you away from the crowds for a while. You know, the shooting gallery is going away. I was never a big fan of the shooting gallery, so I'm not really going to miss it that much. But a lot of people do like to go over there for that. The tiki room. The Tiki Room is a traditional classic. Oh, yeah. Go there. Get out of the sun. And it's a classic. It's a classic. The Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse, some of the best views of the park. Go up there. Check it out. Those kind of things. Go to – now, Cinderella's Carousel, you know, is that really that great? But it is classic. Go check it out. The Mermaid Ride, Little Mermaid Ride, that is not that crowded usually, and it moves very fast. If you want to, you don't want to go. So you can go on a lot of rides and not have to worry about the crazy lines. Now, again, they're not the big ticket items. The Dumbo, we talked about Dumbo. Dumbo, there's a big queue. It goes fast, right? Because there's two of them now.
Yeah.
Right? It goes fast. You can go and that's a classic. Every once in a while, you got to go on the Dumbo. You just got to go because you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. Now, the Speedway, the line tends to be pretty bad there, but that's a classic ride. The Mad Hatter Teacups or the Alice in Wonderland Mad Hatter Teacups, those, the line tends to be also, it moves fast. It's a classic ride. Is that one, a lot of people tend to get motion sickness on that. But Carousel of Progress, so we just named eight rides, and Monsters Incorporated Laugh Floor. Again, the queue goes really fast. It looks like it's gigantic and you're like, oh my goodness, I'll never get on. But the room's big and it fills up and it moves quickly. Those are all great things to do. Buzz Lightyear, it moves pretty quickly too. There's a lot of rides that you shouldn't worry about the whole queue and the wait, because you can go, and then the People Mover. So the People Mover, you can go in the People Mover. The line, even if the line's long, it moves fast. It moves fast, folks. So we just named 10, 12 rides that you can go on if you plan your day without much of a hassle, without waiting too long, and be able to do that. Now, again, it's not the big ticket rides, but I worry sometimes when people go to a park and they spend so much time waiting in the two or three big ticket rides that they don't experience the other things. Whereas, it's a fulfilling day. If you said, hey, I went on 15 rides, I went on three, I went on Space Mountain, I went on Big Thunder, and I went on Tron. Did you want anything else? No, I had no time. I spent my whole day waiting in line. Well, I went on 15 rides. I went 15 attractions. I did all these things. I don't know. Sometimes I would rather do the 15. So it really depends on what you want. But you can't always – when people say to you, it was so crazy, I couldn't go on anything. Even in the crowded – the most crowded days, Carousel of Progress, the People Mover, Buzz, those always move. The lines move, guys. Yeah. And it's not that bad. So you got to look at that. It's a big park. There's a lot of things. There's no other park has more attractions than Magic Kingdom. So you just have to look and see what you want to do. You'll be able to go on a lot of rides, especially on the from the castle to the right more. There's a lot of things back there that you just don't realize. And, take the time and go on them because they're great. The Winnie the Pooh ride, which, again, I rarely ever go on, that moves pretty fast too. So you could probably go on a dozen rides without a problem, even on the most crowded days.
Yeah, that's a huge tip. And then there's more to do than just ride on some of these rides. And what I mean by that is like Tomorrowland Speedway is great for taking pictures. If you're an adult and it's been a long time since you've been on that, go get on Tomorrowland Speedway. And especially with the construction of Tron, it's just so cool there. You can get a pretty cool couple of places of shots of the castle, Storybook Circus. It just is a really cool picture taking spot. Same thing for People Mover. People Mover is a cool ride and it's supposed to just be, show you a couple things and give you a little bit of history, but it's great for people watching. It's great for photo taking. Carousel of Progress is great for catching a quick nap if you need to, right? In the air conditioning. It's also a really good show too, as that's one of the originals. It's original to Walt Disney World and Magic Kingdom, but it's great for a nap. So, you got multi-purpose on some of these attractions as well. And, don't discount maybe going and getting a Dole Whip and taking it back to the hub and sitting on the hub grass and just enjoying it and people watching. I think that's another, kind of a tip or comment is a lot of people do just go 90 miles an hour and they don't sit down and relax maybe on the hub and on one of the little offshoots on a bench and maybe enjoy one of these treats we're talking about, sit back, people watch, rest your legs, and just enjoy being there. You know, I don't think, and Disney's not done a great job at training us to, you know, just sit back and smell the roses. You know, we're at the app, we're purchasing Genie Plus, we're going from ride to ride and, you know, trying to fit in what to do here and there. But, you know, just stopping and sitting and relaxing, enjoying the Imagineering and the beautiful landscaping and just being outside. Yeah, Brian, I don't know if a lot of people do that. A lot of people forget that they're outside when they're at Disney. I know that's a funny statement.
Well, it's a beautiful, and again, I could tell you this, my last time there, I was there, I don't know, it was a little after dinner, it was before the parade, and it was, the crowd was not bad. And I sat on a bench out not far from the castle, but closer to the Frontierland exit. I sat on a bench there and I was eating. I had something to eat. I had a hot dog and I was sitting there. And I was just watching everything and looking at how beautiful this park is and looking at the landscape and looking at just the sight lines. And I saw the people, obviously. You see all the people going by and that. And there's also a lot of really cool, there's trolley cars and double-decker buses and horse-drawn carriages.
Dapper Dans.
Yeah, Dapper Dans. There's so many things going on that you don't even, sometimes people just totally miss that stuff. They walk right by mm-hmm. and they do not see them. And that's part of the whole experience there. And you got to take the time to do that. So I highly recommend every once in a while stopping to smell the roses. Even if you stop and go, you know, go walk around the castle and look at the castle and look at the design of the castle. Look at the moat. Look how beautiful that was designed. Mm-hmm. Go behind the castle. Try to take the sword out of the stone. Do those kind of things while you can, because it's just really cool stuff. And it's part of the ambiance of that park.
Yeah. Brian, what else is on your list? That's all on my list. I mean, we covered
a good bit of tips. Shopping. So I would say shopping. Yeah, okay. So the one thing we didn't, my tip was when you get there, don't shop right away. Wait, because everything's going to be there. Nothing's going to be sold out. Come back, end of the night. Okay, you want to look and see. Now, there are shops throughout the park. There are some in front of the Haunted Mansion. There's some over there, the Hall of Presidents. There are shops all over the place. Like there's a Tron shop. There's a shop in front of Space Mountain. There are a lot of shops. So you can actually, if you want specialized things, those you would have to buy probably when you're over in those areas. And I recommend checking them out because there's some really cool, unique things over there. But when you get back to Main Street USA, there are a bunch of shops. Now, they're not as specialized as they have been in the past, but I can tell you pretty much everything you need is going to be there. They have so many things, and they usually have good supplies because these are some of the bigger, I would say, the stock that's there on Main Street is good. You know, if you need a shirt in a certain size, pretty good chance they'll be able to find it in the back because that's one of the main stores. So I would check it out. They always have the newest things. They always have cool things. Both sides of the streets have stuff. You'll see definitely on as you're walking towards the castle to your left. That's the biggest, I think, Emporium part. Yeah, So that's going to have the most. But to the right, there's a couple good stores over there. Besides, there's food options over there, too. I would check them both out because there might be something that you really want, something unique that you're looking for. One cool thing about, you know, Disney is that, Walt Disney World is that there are shops all over the place. Each resort has shops. A lot of them have unique things, so you always check them out. It's always worth checking out. But I would say this is the time, end of the day, take your time, you know, reserve a little bit of time to spend some time walking around because you might see some things that you really want and to remember your trip. Again, if you're there a couple of days, then you know what? You could come back another day and get it, or just get it that day and not have to worry about it the next day. I mean, either or. I tend to when I see something I want, and I'm not going to risk the next day coming back and maybe the right size is not there anymore, but I do try to buy them, but I don't ever buy during the day. I've had that experience where with kids and nephews and stuff where within the first half hour, they buy like a gigantic bag of toys. And then the whole day we have to carry it around and all the rides. It's not, that's not, That's a big tip. Big tip is if you want something, it'll be there at the end of the day. There's a, you know, 99% of the chance that you're gonna get what you want, and it's there. So take the time, walk around there, and also the stores are just so beautiful too. They really are. There's a lot of cool things in there to look at, even if you're not buying anything. It's worth walking around and checking it out. Then go back to Main Street a little bit, soak that in. Sometimes there's characters out there to take pictures. Check out the firehouse. Check out, you know, it's just so beautiful there. It's just the whole atmosphere there is great. And if you haven't been on the train, the one last thing I do want to say, we didn't talk about it, but the train is back. That's another one, man. You're not going to have to wait in line very long. If the train's open, go on the train. It is just a great thing. It's another piece of something Walt loved. You know, Walt loved his trains. And it's just great. I just adore that train. I was sad when it was gone for so long. I'm so glad it's back because it's just kind of like it's the final piece to the puzzle of that park, right? Because you got the monorail, you got the boats, you got the trolleys, you got the horse-drawn carriages. Pretty much every mode of transportation's there except for the train, right? And then now the train's back, and I just love to see it there. So that's my last tip is check those things out. Don't forget that's part of, you know, Walt Disney World. It's not just Space Mountain. It's not just Tiana's. It's not just the Haunted Mansion. The Haunted Mansion is so popular. There's so much more there that you want to soak it in and go visit those, because those are the things that you're going to go back afterwards and say, you know what? I didn't realize how cool, you know, Monsters Incorporated Laugh Floor was. It's so much fun. I laughed my behind off. It was that funny. People walk right by it sometimes and don't go, you know, I wanted to get over to Space Mountain. Okay. But did you miss some great stuff? There's a lot of great stuff there.
So Brian, one thing we forgot to mention, and I just thought of it, and it's incredibly important. If you are at Magic Kingdom late August until the end of December, there are two holiday parties that they have that are absolutely amazing. And I know we've talked about it, and most of you Spoonies know about Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. But in our opinion, they are incredibly worth it. Both of them are awesome in their own ways. If you have the extra time, or if you want to get a lot of stuff done, but maybe you want to have an open day at the resort or something, but book the party to get in at 4 p.m., it's a great thing to do, Brian. I know we both love the holiday parties. Way back on episode number 6, if you can believe it, that was back in October of 2020.
Yeah,
we did a battle of the Walt Disney World holiday parties, and we talked about the pluses and minuses of Halloween over Christmas parties. I had to mention that because that is a huge plus for Magic Kingdom, are those two holiday parties.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. And another thing I forgot too, and this is something that people ask all the time. You know, there is a Starbucks. It's probably one of the busiest Starbucks in the world. There's a Starbucks on Main Street. There's some Joffrey's coffee throughout the park too, which I think people tend to think Joffrey's is a little bit better. But it's there too if you need it. And it's another interesting thing. I enjoy going into that Starbucks just to see how organized they are too.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. The amount of people, again, I'm pretty sure, cause I think my daughter Taylor worked at Starbucks and she said that was, if it wasn't number one, it was like number two of the busiest Starbucks ever. It's crazy to see, you know, how they do it. And they're so organized. The line moves, things get done. It's amazing to watch. And that's the cool stuff. Again, if you ever get to go do the Keys of the Kingdom tour and learn more about that park, it is another great thing.
Yes.
It's worth the money to go do, but don't go until you've actually gone to the park. Like it doesn't make it. I know a family who before they actually visited the park, they did the Keys of the Kingdom tour, which I don't understand because I don't know what kind of value you get out of that, but they did. But once you go, you know, that's another thing. There are some good tours. That's one. And I will tell you, any of you people that are fans of Disneyland and have go to Disneyland all the time, Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World is very different than Disneyland in Disneyland Resort. At the beginning, it kind of looks the same, but it's a lot different. And it's laid out a lot different. And again, it's... it's interesting. I love the fact that they're different. You know, people always say, "Oh, it's the same thing." It's not the same thing, and they're different for a reason, and they're different. I think their differences make them so unique, which I love them both. Magic Kingdom, I love it. Is that the best park in Walt Disney World? I don't think it is, but it could be. You know, there's a lot going on there, but it could be. And I think a lot of families feel that it is their number one park. And that's another reason why people go all the time.
And also, don't forget that the Magic Kingdom has the best fireworks and the best parade, too. So those are all part of the deal. And, you know, you enjoy them, too. But they are the best.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent conclusion there, Brian. Spoonies, let's keep the conversation going in our Facebook group, right? A Spoonful of Podcast, Spoonie Nation. Is Magic Kingdom your favorite park? What are some of your tips and tricks about this park? Ask us questions. What do we think about certain places, things, restaurants, shops? It's a great place to ask those questions. Maybe post some of your favorite pictures, or maybe you have a tip that's in the form of a picture or a great photo spot. Let's go to the Facebook group and talk about it. A Spoonful of Podcast, Spoonie Nation. Again, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us info@aspoonfulofpodcast.com. Lastly, please also don't forget to rate and review our show. It really does help us wherever you may listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. So, without further ado, broadcasting from the backside of water, how appropriate for this episode. Until next time, we'll see you then.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to A Spoonful of Podcast. You can find show notes, ways to follow us on social media, and all episodes on aspoonfulofpodcast.com. Now that you've experienced the magic, it's time for the most dangerous part of our podcast, the return to civilization.